Oh boy. It's weird for me to actually see people looking back at me. It's been almost 2 months and I've been staring at a camera doing the live streams and so forth. But it's great to be able to be with you all. It's a blessing that we can actually be together once again on a Lord's Day to worship God together. Just a thought for you this morning as we are having a shortened service today. Something for us to consider and think about, especially when it's regarding our praying to the Lord. And the lesson this morning is going to come from Luke chapter 11. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 11, we have recorded for us what's known as the Lord's Prayer. And I'd like to consider with you the first couple of statements from Jesus as he gives this example of the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to look at some application for ourselves, and then next week we'll look at the rest of the Lord's Prayer. Starting in verse 1 of Luke chapter 11, notice what the situation is. It says, Luke says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" So notice the question from one of his disciples was, "Teach us to pray." Apparently at some point John the Baptist had preached his disciples how to pray. It would seem as though this disciple who is asking this of Jesus was perhaps one of the disciples of John previously. And so in verse 2, we have Jesus giving the disciples an example of how to pray to the Father. And that's the very first thing that Jesus says. He says, "When you pray, say." And you'll notice the very first thing he says is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." So this first statement from Jesus, and again, it's not like he's praying on his own. He's given an example that this is how you ought to pray, which is to say, here are the components that are important when we pray to God. And so when he says, "Our Father in heaven," it would seem as though it's almost like an address on a letter. And yet, it's not some formal statement that is made. And every single one of our prayers, almost always, both in our private prayers and in our public prayers, it almost always starts out with, "Father in heaven," or "Dear God who art in heaven," something along that line. And it's not just some kind of formality. It is to address the fact, first of all, that we're praying to the Father. Okay, we're not praying to the Holy Spirit. We're not praying to Jesus. We're praying to the Father. It is to Him that we offer up our petitions. And it's a reminder that that Father to whom we pray is in heaven. It reminds us, like in Revelation 4, how that we are approaching the throne of the Creator of all things that exist. And it's a reminder for us to be humble and to remember our place, that we are on earth. Our Father, who is in control of all, is in heaven. But then Jesus goes on to say, "Hallowed be thy name." This term, hallowed, is not to be confused, as I used to think when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, that Jesus was saying hallowed. What does hallowed mean? I thought hollow was something that's empty. I don't get it. It's hallowed be thy name. That term hallow means to make holy, to sanctify, to set apart. And the fact that we're calling on the name of the Father, that is kind of the emphasis Jesus is placing on hallowed be thy name. We recognize you as Creator, as God of all things, as having all power and all majesty and all glory, being the one and only God. It's as if all of that is contained within that phrase, hallowed be thy name. Then the second thing that we notice that Jesus says, he says, "Your kingdom come." And depending on who you speak to or what commentary you read, people will be divided as to what they think Jesus means here. But understand that when Jesus is saying this, when he says, "Your kingdom come," this is being prayed on behalf of the disciples to the Father. He says, "Your kingdom come." Is there application regarding the coming of the church being established in Acts chapter 2? Yes. That hasn't happened yet. Jesus hasn't died and been raised and ascended into heaven. The apostles weren't given the Holy Spirit through which they could do miraculous gifts. Not yet. So yes, there is a component to this that is in reference to the church to a certain extent being established in Acts chapter 2. But keep in mind that the fullness of the kingdom, which is the full realization of a home in heaven, not just us on earth looking forward to that home in heaven, but the full realization of it, actually being in heaven with the Lord, will not come until the Lord returns to redeem those who are saved, to take everyone to judgment. And after that, the redeemed will go to heaven. At that point, the fullness of the kingdom of God will have come. And so when Jesus makes a statement within this prayer, "Your kingdom come," we can continue to pray this. We often continue to pray this. In fact, Peter encourages us to hasten the coming of the Lord. John, at the end of Revelation, he quotes Jesus as saying, "Behold, I come quickly." And John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." John was ready, the apostles were ready, and we must be ready as well. And that is, to some extent, what seems to be what Jesus is referencing, that authority, that fullness of the promises of God coming to pass. And then finally for you this morning, Jesus says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is of important emphasis that we remember when we pray to God that we cede our will, that we deny what we want in favor and recognition that God's will must be done. When we pray to God, a lot of times we have an idea of how we want things to come to pass or what kind of time frame we want them to happen in. But usually and most often, God has another way He plans to answer your prayer, perhaps in usually ways that we didn't even consider. And that's why it's so important for us to remember that God sees the big picture. We don't. And that we can ask for things. We can offer our petitions to the Lord. We can offer up our cares and our concerns and our anxieties. But in the end, we must acknowledge that the Lord's will be done. If it's according to your will, as Jesus said three times in the garden, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thine be done. It is of utmost importance that we recognize these three characteristics when we pray. That we acknowledge that we're praying to the Father, that He is in heaven. It is before His throne that we come when we pray. That we acknowledge that we are looking forward to that home in heaven, knowing that the fullness of the kingdom will come one day, and that we have to be ready. And finally, that we acknowledge that it cannot be our will. It must be the Lord's, and things must happen the way He decides for them to happen. That's the lesson for you this morning. I hope this is something beneficial and edifying for us when we consider our prayers. And I know all of us have been praying through this the last several months especially. I know we've been praying before that. I hope we have continued to pray, but also in earnest for our those who are on the front lines of this, our care providers and nurses and doctors and EMTs and so forth who are dealing with this every day, the healthcare crisis going on. But especially that as we, as servants of God, seek to continue to be pleasing to Him every day, that we continue to acknowledge that He is God and He knows all things. He sees the big picture and we can put our trust in that. That's the lesson for you. I hope there's something beneficial. We offer an invitation this morning to those who are not Christians to be baptized, to have your sins washed away, be added to the body that belongs to Christ, the part of the kingdom that has come, the physical belonging of the church, which is the body of Christ, having that relationship now with the Father through baptism, being added to His body. Those of us who are Christians, let's remember always to put our faith in the Lord and to pray as God and as Jesus has taught us to pray. The lesson is yours if you're subject. Come forward as we stand and sing.